And let's hear it as we read at verse 26 in Luke 23. And as they led him away, they laid hold upon one Simon, a Cyrenian, coming out of the country. And on him they laid the cross that he might bear it after Jesus. And there followed him a great company of people and of women, which also bewailed and lamented him. But Jesus, turning unto them, said, Daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming in the which they shall say, Blessed are the barren, and the wombs that never bear, and the paps which never give suck. Then shall they begin to say to the mountains, Fall on us, and to the hills, cover us. For if they do these things in a green tree, what shall be done in the dry? And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding. And the rulers also with them derided him, saying, He saved others. Let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar and saying, If thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. And a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew. This is the King of the Jews. What a very moving portion of scripture that is. We'll end it there at verse 38 and we'll return to it in a few moments' time. Last Sunday night in Luke's Gospel, we were looking at some verses in Luke chapter 23. And we were looking at a problem for Pontius Pilate, this interesting character we know so much about. And as we looked at those verses together, we noted the admission that is recorded for us. How that when Herod had disposed of the Lord Jesus Christ and sent him back again to Pontius Pilate, that Pilate interrogated him, and having asked him many questions and received many different answers, he brought him out before the people to make the announcement, I have examined him before you and have found no fault in this man. And yet Pilate proceeded to hand over the Lord Jesus Christ to be crucified, a man who was innocent, while he released onto the people a man called Barabbas who was guilty of murder. We thought about the action that is recommended because Pilate's actions challenge every single one of us who know not Christ. Pilate compromised with the people. He crucified the Savior. He condemned his own soul in the process. He knew what he should have done, but he didn't do it. He acted against his better judgment. Tonight, if you know not Christ, you better not make the same mistake. You must decide what you're going to do with Christ, and remember this, that whatever you do with him in time, then you'll have to be done with in eternity. And if you reject him in time, then he will reject you in eternity. If you turn your back on Jesus Christ, that's the greatest mistake that you will ever make. Now tonight, as we come back here to Luke 23, we're going to come to the place that is called Calvary. I'm sure already you've picked up the theme of our hymns, how that each of them have taken us to the place called Calvary, for the truth is that no place has ever captured the imagination of people like Calvary has done. With all the hymns that we have speaking about his work on the cross, about all the books that we have in our possession explaining to us the need and the nature of the Savior's death on that old rugged cross. Go into many of the great art galleries of our world and you will see paintings hanging, painted by great artists who have sought to put on canvas those things that happened that day at Calvary. Listen to these words again in Luke 23:33. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him. I'm going to make this as simple as I possibly can. You don't have to be too deep when it comes to this place called Calvary, and especially when we come to this text this evening. But I want also to make this very personal so that all of us at least will understand in a measure why the Lord Jesus Christ laid down his life at this place called Calvary. Let me mention first of all the place of his death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary. Remember, by this stage, Jesus Christ has already been interrogated by Pilate. He has been handed over by Pilate to the people, and a man called Simeon was compelled to carry the Savior's cross. Now, since Jesus was to be executed, it was necessary for the law to be kept in that the execution would take place outside the city walls. And it would seem that having carried his own cross on the route to Calvary, that at some stage, hands were laid upon this man, Simon, who carried it the rest of the way. Now, if Jesus was suffering from physical exhaustion, then that by now is understandable. For as you and I seek to continue with the Lord Jesus Christ during these days of his earthly ministry, coming to the climax of his life, you'll note that the scene has been set and so many things have already taken place in the Savior's life. Beginning from the time when he met with the disciples in the upper room and he announced his betrayal at the hands of Judas Iscariot. He had agonized in Gethsemane as he anticipated his approaching death and as he thought about the fact that very soon he would lay down his life for the sin of this old world. He then watched as some of his beloved disciples had walked away from him and turned their backs upon him at a time when he needed them the most. He had watched as Peter had defiantly said he would not forsake him, and then within a short time, Peter actually denied him. He had then been subject to a trial before an unjust judge. Belittled and mocked by Herod and his men, interrogated by Pilate, declared to be innocent, handed over to his enemies, spat upon, scourged and belittled at the hands of his enemies. And then he had to take his cross and make his way to Golgotha's hillside. Is it any wonder that the Lord Jesus Christ is physically drained? And somehow this man, Simon, comes into the picture. And of course, this day, it may have been a different day in many ways, but this procession was something that was quite common to the people of Jesus' day. However, there's a great crowd in the city. After all, this is the time of the Passover. Crowds have been there. They have witnessed the soldiers leading Jesus Christ on his way to Calvary. Many had gone this way before, but no man had ever died the way that the Lord Jesus Christ would die. You might ask me tonight, well, listen, Pastor, where was this place called Calvary? Well, Cecil Francis Alexander perhaps puts it best in a beautiful hymn, for here's what is penned. There is a green hill far away outside a city wall, where our dear Lord was crucified, who died to save us all. She got it right because it was a hill and it was outside the city wall. This hill in Old Testament times was the place where blasphemers were taken and stoned. In fact, the Jews call it to this day the place of stoning. In tradition, some have it that Stephen, the first martyr, was stoned to death at this very spot. But as far as Jesus Christ was concerned, the high priest had based his sentence of death on blasphemy. And the method of execution was changed from stoning to crucifixion. It's interesting to note that this term Calvary appears only once in the Bible. The Greek translation is the word Golgotha. That's the word we find used in the other gospel accounts. And I tell you that simply because there's no contradiction here. It's simply a different use of terms. This term Golgotha simply means the place of a skull. The Romans had taken over this hill from the Jews. It was here that made their official execution ground. Oh, there's much else I could say about Calvary. But those things will tell us something about the place. The place of his death when they were come to the place which is called Calvary. Here's the second thing. I want you to think about the pain of his death. When they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him. There, at that very place, the place of the skull on Golgotha's hillside, there, listen, they crucified him. Three simple words. Words tonight that ought to grip our soul and help us to understand something of the pain and the shame and the humiliation that the Lord Jesus Christ had to endure at the hands of his enemies, because death by crucifixion was the most horrible, painful death that anybody could ever have suffered. Rome reserved this form of death for slaves, slaves who had been guilty of great crimes. They said that when a person was crucified, he died 1,000 deaths. Just you think for a moment of what it actually meant to the Lord Jesus Christ that day at Calvary. Those nails driven through his hands and his feet while he lays on the ground. The pain that wrecked his body as that cross was uplifted and set into the ground. And there he hangs. There on a tree. Hanging, as it were, between heaven and earth. As if he was worthy of neither. Do you know that a doctor has sought medically to describe what it would have been like for the Lord Jesus Christ to have been uplifted on that cross? Here's what he says. He would have endured severe inflammation. There would have been severe swelling around the regions where the nails had been driven through his flesh. He would have endured unbearable pain from torn tendons and severe discomfort from the way his body was suspended on that cross. That's what it meant to him physically. Can you imagine what it meant to him as he hangs on that cross? And there he hangs and he dies to the gaze of a perishing world, separated from God the Father for the first time from eternity past, and crying out from the depth of his anguished soul, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? What pain? What shame? What agony of soul the Lord Jesus Christ went through? There's a hymn, I checked our hymn books, we don't have it. Or if we did, we'd have sang this together. If you didn't know it, I'd have sung it myself. And that would have been dangerous. But you know what the words say? Then the darkness came down, and the rocks rent around, and a cry pierced the grief-laden air. 'Twas the voice of our King who received death's dark sting, all to save us from endless despair. Oh, it bows down the heart, and the teardrops will start when in memory that grey hill I see. For 'twas there on its side Jesus suffered and died to redeem a poor sinner like me. When they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, the place of his death, Calvary. The pain of his death, they crucified him. Here's the third thing. The purpose of his death. The purpose of his death. If his death was so severe, and if Jesus Christ was innocent of the charges brought against him, and if it is, as he said, that all power in heaven and on earth is his, why did he die like a criminal? Why was he subject to such pain and such shame and such humiliation? Why on earth was this man who knew no sin, who did no sin, taken and there uplifted on a cross between two thieves who were guilty of their crimes? Why was it, in deep agony of soul, that he cries out from a body wrecked with pain, my God, why have you forsaken me? What was the purpose in all of this? Surely there could have been some other way. Surely God could have done it differently. This God of love that you speak about, Pastor, this God who sent His Son into the world to be our Savior, surely there could have been some other way but Calvary. No. No. Because there was no other way that sin could be dealt with. There was no other way that God's wrath and justice could be met. There was no other way that the demands of God that were placed upon the sinner could be met. No other way, I tell you tonight, that you and I could be saved from the caverns of the damned. No other way but Him. No other way but Calvary. No other way but that old rugged cross. You and I need to understand that. Terrible though this death by crucifixion was, it's the way of the cross that leads home. It's the cross work of Christ that brings us salvation. And this was something planned by God in eternity past. All of the Old Testament sacrifices pointed towards this day when a Redeemer will come. And when the Christ of God will give His life on yon yonder cross, so that sinners like you and me can be gloriously saved. It's important you understand that. And it's so important that I understand that Jesus Christ did not die on the cross for His own sins. He knew no sin. He did no sin. He died on the cross for your sins and mine. You know, folks, He wasn't guilty. You and I were the guilty ones. Isaiah the prophet, years before the Lord Jesus Christ was ever born, spoke about His birth. We've read that just a few weeks ago when we thought about the incarnation. But Isaiah the prophet also had much to say about His death. Yeah, hundreds of years before Christ ever came. And one of the most moving, solemn, encouraging passages of Scripture is found in Isaiah 53. Listen to what it says of Christ. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. And then he sums it up like this. And maybe you and I will see ourselves, and more importantly, maybe we'll see him. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to our own way, but the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. That doesn't need an explanation, sure it doesn't. You don't need to be a theologian really to work that out. You can just sit and ponder those words and think about it. That the Lord laid on him on that cross at Calvary as he dies between those two thieves, the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. All. Does that include me, Pastor? Yes, it does. Whoever you are, includes you. It was your sin that took him to the cross. It was my sin that nailed him to the cross. The Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. Every one of us sitting tonight in this meeting. Because we were all sinners, and such is the nature of our sin and the terrible plight we were in, it took one who knew no sin to take the sinner's place. It took one who satisfied the demands of God to die that the sinner might be spared. And I love the way that the Apostle Paul puts it. For when he speaks of Christ, he says this, that God hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. What does all of this mean? It means that on the cross Christ became our sin bearer, and he did for us that we could never do for ourselves. He died that we might be forgiven. That's what the hymn writer says. It can't be put any better. He died that we might be forgiven. The debt for our sin has been paid, and paid in full. The demands of God have been satisfied. The work of salvation is finished. And if you and I would come as a sinner to Jesus and come to the foot of that old rugged cross by faith and trust him as our Savior, then everything would change. And our sins would be gone. And our lives would be transformed, and our future would be secure, and heaven would be our home. And all on the basis of the place called Calvary. And that old rugged cross where Jesus suffered and bled and died in order that we might go free. I read a story on one occasion, a story of a man called Edward Sweeney. It was quite amusing. He lived in New York in an apartment, and one night his bed caught fire. He smelt the smoke and he awakened in the darkness and he ran for the door and for safety. And when the door closed behind him, he realized he was in a built-in wardrobe and he couldn't get out. Thankfully, the fire brigade arrived and heard him shouting. And questioned about it as he laughed about it, he said, "You know, I was rescued just in time. Just in time." I thought about these three words, just in time. Just in time. If you've never thought about Calvary before, I urge you to think about it tonight while you're just in time. If you've never understood all that Calvary means, I ask you to think about it tonight, because you're without excuse and you're still in time. So why don't you come? Why won't you come in simple faith and look at Him who died that you might live and trust Him as your Savior? And do it while you're still in time and not in eternity. Because in eternity it'll be far too late. Charles Spurgeon's often referred to as the Prince of Preachers. He rightly says this: "The world's one and only remedy is the cross. The world's one and only remedy is the cross." Many tonight will argue that. And they'll tell you to do your best. And they'll tell you to make New Year's resolutions. They'll tell you to clean up your life. They'll tell you to give more to the church. They'll tell you to make a greater commitment to the church. They'll tell you all kinds of things, but it's not the truth. It's not the truth. The world's one and only remedy is the cross. And that's why when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified the only Savior for sinners like you and me. Let me close with the words of a lovely hymn by Charles Wesley. "Behold Him, all ye that pass by, the bleeding Prince of life and peace. Come, sinners, see your Maker die, and say, was ever grief like His? Come, feel with me His blood applied. My Lord, my love is crucified for you and me, to bring us rebels back to God. Believe, believe, the record true, ye all are bought with Jesus' blood. Pardon for all flows from His side. My Lord, my love is crucified." And it's on the basis of that once for all sacrifice for sin and that substitutionary death on our part that you and I can know Him as our Savior and know our sins forgiven. When they were come to the place called Calvary, there they crucified Him. What a text. What a Savior. Do you know Him? Or will you still bypass the cross and hope someday to be in heaven? It won't happen. It won't happen. The one and only remedy for the world is the cross. And if you miss the cross, you'll miss everything that's important. Let's pray for a moment before we sing. And let's take just a little opportunity to think about that place called Calvary. Father, those of us who are saved tonight, we want to thank you again for that place called Calvary. We have sang it and we love the words that mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. And there my burdened soul found liberty. The place called Calvary. We thank you from the depth of our souls for the cross work of Jesus Christ. Father, some here tonight perhaps not saved, never been to the cross by faith. We ask lovingly that maybe for the very first time they'll understand that he took their sin and their sorrow and made them his very own, that he bore their burden to Calvary and suffered and died alone. Will you speak to all our hearts and help us to understand the wonder of it all for Jesus' sake?